Isn't the amount of guy ever restricted to a certain class of king and Thomas Hoffman?
The Gemara says everybody can have a Shemitah Shiva Shemitah. It doesn't say only a Talmud Chacham.
Rabbi Margaretin, can you ask people to mute themselves, please?
Yes, I will ask them again, but it's not like they listen to me any more than they listen to you. Everybody should please mute themselves unless they have a question, because it disturbs the other people on the phone. Okay, what? If not, I can mute everybody. I hate to use that option, the nuclear option, you know what I mean? What? You started the recording, yes. Okay, we are up to Bishlai Miller and Meir. Okay, how do I find this? Let's go across from Tysus Bishlaima. Move up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. In the middle of the line. Bishlai Miller and Meir, Haino Dixiv Ostinokim Elati. Last week's Parsha, we're 1 week off. In Parsha's Chai Sarah, Avraham Avinu has Eliezer swear. He says to him, Vim lo yitnu lach, lo yisunokim elasi. If they don't give you the girl, or then it says, Ostinokim Elasi. Right? Says it right when Avinu tells him, right? So why did it, according to Meir, make sense? This is the Shua. You're swearing that you will go take a girl from Eretz Canaan, and then you say, and they don't give it to you, then you'll be a Zal from the Shua. It's not obvious, right? It's not obvious because you won't, he said, I swear you, if you won't go see the Lashon HaPasuk, in Leiselach HaBeis Avi, I swear that you should go to Beis Avi, right? So it means the Shrua is, he should go and try to get her. Understood that if he goes and doesn't get her, there's no Shrua. The Shrua was he should go and get her. He went, right? So why did he have to speak out? And if you don't, they don't give it to you, you're absolved from the Shrua. Isn't it obvious? I want you to go. That's the Shua.
That's the
Kohen
is taking from not taking.
I understand, but the Havamina is again the Gemara's Havamina. That's self understood. That as long as he goes, he's doing what he has to do. So the inference is, if you don't go, that's a problem. But if you go, you did what you have to do. Why did he have to say, if you go and they don't give it to you, then you're absolved from the Shua? Why isn't that obvious? We expect him to grab her and take her away against her will? That's the Gemara's Kasha. So, Bishlam Elor Meir HaNilchsev As Tinokim Elasi. Elor Reb Chanina Ben Gamliel Lameli. Why isn't it an inference? I mean, you think that Avraham Avinu wanted him to kidnap Rivka? Obviously, he can only go and ask. So why did he have to say they don't give you yourself from the Shua? Must be you need it, it's not a couple. The Shua is if you should go, and if you don't, they don't give it to you. You're right. He has to speak out both sides. Yeah, let me just do the next piece of Gemara, then you ask me the question. And for the Gemara now, Itzrach. Sagadai Dachamina Hechad and Echel of the Double and Echel of the Two, Maisi Balkarchayu. Imlo Yitnu Lach, Vahisa Nakimi Elasi. There would be a Havamina that as long as Rivka wants to go, take her against her parents' will. That's what I would say. Avraham Avinu tells him, go and get a woman for my son. She says, yes, take her. Are your parents are screaming? None of your business. You take her anyway. So therefore, he had to speak out that the parents aren't maskim, but he's a donkey melosi. So it was a necessary thing to speak out. It's not an automatic inference. Because the inference is not, if he doesn't go, he has this shvua. He has to go and take a woman. Now, take a woman with the parents' agreement, take a woman without the parents' agreement, not clear. Now, Reb Meir assumes, the Gemara assumes, of course you're going to get agreement. You're not kidnapping. And for the Gemara, you can add an agreement from one party and not from the other parties. You can get the woman to agree, but not her parents. So you would think Eliezer can tell the parents, I'm taking her anyway. So the pasuk speaks out that if they don't agree, well, you said not give me a lossy. Yes, Dr. Harris.
No, I always understood that the key thing is not that you should go and get me a wife. You should go from this family, the Dafka, this family.
And he went to Dafka, that family. He did. What happens if they say no? What would you think if he didn't say those words? And loyal mishpachtiu beis avi, go to my family. Fine. He went to the family. He asked them to give Rivka. I wanted to apologize for yesterday. I was abrupt with all the people that tried to take me to Chumash here. I apologize. I'm usually not so abrupt, but I don't want to learn Chumash here today. I don't want to learn today, and I didn't want to learn yesterday. We're learning the Gemara. Let's go through the story again. Eliezer is told to go to his family. I don't care how the wording is, and one time, the other time, that's good for Chumash here, all the differences. There's like 20 differences, even though Rashi points out 3 or 4 or 2 or 3, I don't count, but there's 20 differences between the way the story exactly words and the way it's repeated, but that's not for now. He told them, go to Padnaram, get me a girl from my family. And if you know that, that was a shua. Now, what would have happened without him repeating, if they don't give it to you, you're absolved from my shua? What would have happened? What would the shua have been? Would the shua have been chal anyway? Why did he have to say, if they don't give it to you, you're free from my shua? Why isn't that inferred? We expected a kidnapping? Teretz is Zuckra Meir, Tanai Kuffel. Yeah, in order to make a shua on Tanai, right, it's a shua. That means obviously it is a punishment if you don't keep the shua. Now, if the shua works, whether the Tanai is no good, that means there's going to be a punishment. So he had to tell Eliezer, no, if they don't give it to you, you're off the hook. Tanai Kuffel. But according to Chalina ben Gamliel, that's an extra line. Isn't it self-understood? And for the Gemara, no, it's not self-understood. Because maybe the girl will want to go, and the parents won't want, and Avraham Avinu is telling him to tell the parents to have a wonderful day and take her anyway. There is such a Havamina. So we had to exclude that Havamina by saying, Vim no yitnu loch, but yisinok kamelasi. That's what the Gemara is answering. What you didn't consider a Havamina, the Gemara says, was a Havamina. Now, the Gemara is not saying that if she and the parents don't want to go, you should kidnap her. No, the Gemara does not give that to Havamina. But the Gemara is saying, maybe all you need is her agreement. How do I know you need the parents' agreement? They don't give her to you. That's the parents talking. Let's move to the next piece of Gemara.
I thought he was asking, why is it Ish sometimes and Evan sometimes?
Again, we're going to go to Chumash here again. I said that 20. That's Chumash here again. Ask Mechila again. I know people love to learn Chumash and to do Chumash here. I understand it. Especially Ish and Evan. I'm sure Rabbi Cohn and Ateris Imi has 5 Shatim. That's not what we're trying to do now. We're not learning Parshas Vayetzara. I'm trying not to be abrupt. I'm trying to explain why I am not entertaining questions on the Parsha. We're not learning Chumash now. I mean, Chumash is wonderful, and you should. But when you're learning now Tanai Kuffel, we're zeroing in on the Tanai, and we want to stay there. Okay? Ish and Evan is a great kasha, and whether he was going to go to B'nai Kanan or to B'nai, and there's so many differences. If you go through the bars, you'll find 20 differences. But that's not the point here now. Zug to Gemara Vayter.
The from learning something, you don't see the klala. How does the Gemara know that there's a klala that was the klala in any case? Maybe it's just a shvua without a klala, and
he's over. Everybody that violates the shvua has a punishment without a klala. There's a shvua. And then there's a shua sa'ala, but that's an extra klala. Every violation of a shua gets within a punishment, especially when it's done with the shem Hashem. That's biyacha b'shem elokei shemayim elokei yaretz. It wasn't mekayim it, because if there's no tanai kuffel, the tanai doesn't work.
There's no way not to be over the klala if there's no tanai kuffel.
That's what the Gemara thought, that this proves Rameyer right. It was out Tanai Kuffel, this is going to be a shua, and there's no way out unless he brings a girl back. No, the shua was that he would go get a girl and bring a girl back. He kept the shua. I guess not, because he said that he persuaded them by a little salun and ara, and then they agreed. At the end of the day, they agreed. Doctor Gemara Baiter. Bishlam of the Reb Meir. I'm sorry, does it say that? Yeah, Frank the Gemara Baiter Shaiva Ishlam Ali. But then it says in the pasuk that he also said if the woman doesn't want to come, why did he have to say that? Isn't that self understood? Heretz says you need tonight kafel. Doctor Gemara, no. I would think maybe if the parents agree, you can take the girl against her will. Kamash Malon, that's why the Torah had to speak up both. That there's no kidnapping here. There's no taking against will. You need both the parents' agreement and the girl's agreement. If he wouldn't have said either of the two, I would have said maybe you only need one agreement.
You can't marry a woman against her will.
Ketana, the father can give her to Kedushin against her will. Who's three? Again. Here we go again. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, third white line. He made him swear. If you don't go to my father's house, you get a shua. Going to a mayor, we don't figure things out from inference. So I would think that he has a shua to go get a girl, like I know, so the pasuk has to say, no, it's dependent on whether he goes or not. And if they don't want to give, he's butter. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, I'm a little frushim telach tinaka. El of the evil and kufla have him about to turn on the shua. Right? If not, we would say that tonight is not about to the shvuah. If at the end she ends up marrying a daughter from Bnei Kanan, heichad the nichelah leishiv and the nichelu lekrayvim, nicey. Well, he nichtav high lemiti nami bekrayvim. To make it depend on the relatives. It doesn't say parents. It says relatives. Interesting that Rashi points out that the violation of Shvuah would only be if he ended up taking Bnei Kanan. And if he wouldn't take Bnei Kanan, he wouldn't have violated the Shvuah, period. But the question is, what if he goes, and they say no, and then he goes and takes Bnei Kanan? Would he violate the Shvuah or not? That's the question. If he wouldn't end up taking Bnei Kanan, if he'd come back and tell Avraham Avinu, I can't get them to come, you know, have one, you know, I tried, there would have been no violation of the shua, because the pasuk says, "I shall seek after each of them." It's only if he can't get the family, he would go get Bnei Kanan. Would that be a violation of the shua or not? The Gemara is saying it would not be a violation of the shua. So Meir is saying it's not a violation of the shua because he repeated it, and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel saying it wouldn't be a violation of the shua only because we would infer that if he tried, he's punter. But we wouldn't know what he has to do, take against whose will. So therefore, the pasuk got to speak out that he needs both of them's agreement.
There's only one person that could really go with him. Rivka, that was the only one that really could go with him, right?
Here we go again.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like the answer would have picked.
Who said only Rivka could go with him?
Well, it has him from that family only.
Did he say that?
It says one place in Shabbati. But anyway, the supporter at the end of Parashas Vayera says Macha, as Gacham Ves Macha. So the supporter says that Macha could have been Yitzchak's wife also.
Macha is who?
The Plaksha Shma Ruma Batelet Loi, as I forgot already the first two names, as Tachash Ves Macha, as Gacham Ves Macha.
So it would not have been Eliezer's daughter.
No, it would not have been. It would have been another one from a Besuel's family. It would have been Besuel's daughter from a Pelegish instead of from his wife. Again, I'm just mentioning Tzipporno. We're learning Chumash, right? So we can look up the Tzipporno also. But that's not the point. The point here is he made him a Shua, and he said, you can't take him by Kanani unless you go to my family. Why doesn't that infer that if he goes and they don't give it to him, that he's puffed from the Shua? Why did the Torah have to repeat it? So Rameir sees him, the Gemara says here, proves Rameir right. We don't do inferences. He's not butter from the shua unless that was spoken out. Rameir Gamliel says no. The inference would have been that he needs one party's agreement, either her or the family, but not both parties' agreement. So the Torah has to speak out that you need both parties' agreement.
What is
when do we have a problem with quoting Mat Torah and we don't?
I don't know. So far, both of these things were for kind of much better. Right, exactly.
The most time was spoken out the very first part of the shul.
Right.
The first thing he said, don't build.
So what's your question?
Yeah, so why would we have a Havamina that he could teach?
Because it says imloy, there's a condition added.
You don't take anyone, you don't keep, you don't bring it on back.
Again, I don't have a chumash with me, but in my chumash, if I remember correctly from last week, it says you go, don't take the place of Nani if you don't go to my place. He made a condition to that shul. In why? Now the question is, at what point is the shul not chal? He said him, why? Mashma, that there's a heter to take Mibnais Kanani at one point. Again, that's Kanani. Yeah. Right. There is a Rashi that says Mibnais Light and Bishmo. Again, here we go into the Chumash here again, that Rashi says two things in two places.
He told Eliezer he's off the table because he's from Kanani. So why would he?
That's l'chad chila. That's l'chad chila. That's l'chad chila.
Doesn't have to be from Kanani.
Again, but look at this. Dr. Harris, read the pasuk. I don't tell the rabbanim what to write. Read the pasuk. Like, think out each of the nights Kanani imloy. What's imloy? That means if you do that, then you're off the hook. That's not what he said. He said then you just swore of not taking Bnei's Kanan doesn't there. Read the pasuk. Again, please don't take this personal. This happens to everybody. We like to see what we think the pasuk is saying. Why don't we let the pasuk say what it's saying? Right. We do that in Gemara, we do that in Rambam. You read the Rambam, you want him to say what you say. Everybody. We're all guilty of that. Why don't we step back and say, let's listen to what the Rambam is saying, not what Yitzchak Margaretin is saying. The pasuk is saying, according to you, it should say, you shouldn't marry your off till you tie my family. If not, you're off the hook. He didn't say that. He said, don't take Bnei's Kanani if not. Mashmeh, if you do what I tell you to do, you could take Bnei's Kanani. That's the inference. There it says, we need tonight coffee. We don't go by inference. Zakti Gemayavait. Bishloim al Rameyer. Hainu dechsev im bichu kaisai telechu, im bichu kaisai temasu. I'm glad we're out of braces. Oh, Chumashur, now we'll stop. They said, if you chayse telechu, you get schar. If you chayse tumasu, you get punishment. That's what the pasuk says. By the way, it's in parashas b'chu chaysai. So we can understand why the pasuk has to say both halves. Because if not, I would say you get schar anyway. Because there's no tanai kavul. But according to Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, Lomeli, isn't it obvious that if you keep it, you get schar, and if you don't keep it, you get punished? Same thing we answered yesterday. There's a neutral. Maybe the inference would be no bracha. But who says negative? Kamash Malan, that b'chayse tamasu, there's a whole 30-49 klalas. Rashi? No Rashi. Lama leave b'chayse tamasu. Nishma b'chlal bracha klala. Yes.
How can it be neutral if half of the Torah is all the punishments we have?
Well, that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Why did it have to speak that out? It's understood. It's exactly what the Gemara... According to Pechina ben Gamliel, why did the Torah have to tell to me?
Well, right. So how many to think, if you don't do mitzvahs, it'll just be...
Neutral.
I'm asking, what do you mean? So... What?
You're going after the Torah wrote it. No, the Gemara would think if the Torah wouldn't write it, what you would think.
Well, All the parts that you do,
you're only up to whatever parts you're up to. This is Bechuk Kaisai. We're further.
What?
What? I'm trying to figure out what's bothering you.
The ultimate mitzvah, I would say, would be neutral and there's no... I spoke first.
Isn't that what you're saying?
No, it's not what he's saying at all. No, he's saying, I'll tell you what he's saying. I understood what he's saying, even though he doesn't think I understood him. I understood him. He's trying to say there's no chavamina, there's no punishment, because you have 20 parshas in the Torah that talk about punishment. So, the answer is, that's once the Torah wrote it. We're saying the Torah shouldn't have to write it. It's understood. Now, what I thought he was going to ask is, we wouldn't know the degree of punishment, how bad the punishment's going to be. Punishment is a very vague term. The Gemara does not answer that. I mean, if I were writing the answer, again, if I were writing my Torah, I would say that the answer is that because of Tumasu, there is punishment. How much punishment? 49 klolos? That's a lot of klolos. And in B'chukais and in Kisava, they add another 98. So, I don't know. It's my kasha, they say. But the bottom line is the Gemara is saying that there's no inference of klolos. There's inference of no bracha. Yes, doctor.
I really don't like the word punishment. And Nefesh Chaim points out there's no punishment. There's
fine. Okay. But well, we consider it gosh as punishment.
Not,
yes.
That's not what I said. Did any of the Mephoshim on the Gemara mention the fact there is no parallelism? That temporal.
I didn't see. I told you.
The blessing is immediately, and the curses are delayed.
Again, I didn't notice anyway. Yeah, this is a Chumash question. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Bishnoi Melo Rebbe Meir, Heinu Dichsev.
So, what does in the Chukos Ha'ebi, Alecho Tomaso, what does that teach us that we would not know if we didn't say
it? Like Rebbe Chanina Gamliel? That when we don't do mitzvahs, we get punished.
We wouldn't know that?
No, we would think you get tzchar, but no punishment. You tell your kid, you get 100 on the test, you get a dollar. What if he gets 80 on the test? Does he get punished?
I guess now he does get punished.
Again, what would your kid? Do you punish your kid if he doesn't get 100 in the test?
Doesn't get his dollar.
Doesn't get his dollar. That's not a punishment. That's neutral. I heard that was a question you asked 5 minutes ago. I got it. I don't have a good answer. I don't have an answer.
I was asking the same thing. It must have sounds like you ripped up the test. You know,
again, would he get punished?
Yeah.
Why?
Rip up the test.
Who says?
The Rebbe would.
Again, that's my job as a Rebbe. When I was a Rebbe, I punished kids. But who said that the father who told him to get 100 in the test, he get a dollar? If he rips up the test, he gets punished. Why?
Where'd you get that from?
He won't get the dollar. Again, it's not. Okay. So again, the Havamina would have been no punishment. There's only schar. There's no einish. There's, by the way, millions of people that walk around thinking that you only get schar in heaven and there's no punishment for what you do. There's a whole 3/4 of the world, or maybe more, that goes around thinking that way. I had a friend ask me in English, "Is there such a thing as Gehenna? Is there such a thing?" I thought Judaism doesn't believe in a thing like that. That's Christianity talks about purgatory. We don't believe in that. And there's a whole bunch of people that think that you do mitzvahs, you'll get rewarded. If you don't do mitzvahs, I don't know what you'll do. You'll get to watch from the 50-yard line. I don't know. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Yes.
So you get punished for not doing a mitzvah. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You have no choice.
We do have choice. You have bechira. But there's a consequence to bechira. You can daven this morning, you cannot daven this morning. It's your choice.
So for,
but you're not off the hook.
For instance, Ashraf's Aveda, if a person is on the status and he wants to pick up the Aveda,
if he's chayvin Ashraf's Aveda, he was mevatel mitzvah to say.
And did he get punished?
What happens if he's mevatel? What happens if you don't shake lulav? I don't understand. What if you don't wait till today? What if you don't wait till today? Why are you picking in the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda?
I don't know. Okay, I finished.
Guy doesn't feel like waiting till him one day. Now, the punishment for a bitul aseh is not the same for a love. There's degrees of punishment for the degrees of severity of the transgression. But that's not for now. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya. Im taivu ishmatem, if you are willing, I think taivu means willing. What? And you listen, the pasuk says a whole bunch of blessings. Vim tama'anu merisem, and if you refuse and you rebel, there's a whole bunch of klolos. So according to a mayor, it has to speak both. It's the same question. Lamali. And for the Gemara, the same answer. It's once we brought the pasuk, we get off on the tangent. The Gemara gets off on a tangent to explain the pasuk in Yeshaya. Nothing to do now with Sinai Kavul. Now, once you brought the pasuk, we want to explain the rest of the pasuk. The pasuk says, as you rebel, cherev, what's how you pronounce the next word? Techelu?
Tuchlu.
Cherev tuchlu, which is mashma, that you will have, your food will be a sword.
You will be devoured by the sword.
But it's not the way Rashi explains it. Cherev tuchlu. Mashmachi laschem hu cherev. Tiyun is boim. You'll be filled with sword. The food you eat will be a sword. Which food is considered a sword? A merava milcha galanisa, big salt, rub is out.
Coarse salt,
thank you. Nama desari, together with barley bread, akusha hard one, ubatsali and onions. That's a sword for the body. Eating hard barley bread, onions, and coarse salt is a cherev. Amar, pasporni. Pasporni is bread baked in an oven, I believe. Kareva, which is dry. The melech with salt, btzalim with onions. Kashim leguv kacharabais is as bad as a sword. Not healthy. Rashi. No, garalisa, gasa. We went off a tangent. The Gemara decided to explain the pasuk in Yeshaya. It's interesting because the way Arshkol explained that you'll be consumed by a sword, it doesn't mean your food will be a sword. The Gemara understands that the food will be a sword. That's how Rashi says.
It's grammatically
the way it's translated,
but...
Okay, right then. Okay, now we move on to Chumash. We're back to now we're up to Bamidbar. We did Brachos, Chayesara, the Chukaisai. Now we're up to Parshas Nasai. Bishloima Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. Hainu d'chsev. Okay, so this, we're going to need a chumash. At least I'm going to need a chumash. Because it's going to be a bunch of sukkim that we're going to use. Parshas Nasai. The Kayan makes an oath with the woman. He makes her swear that she did not have an illicit affair. That's basically what he makes her swear. So I'm going to read the pasuk. The pasuk, there's a few pasukim here. The Parshas Nasai, in Kapitel Hay, it says like this. V'shbi'a isha kayen. V'amar la'isha. Im lo'y shachav ish aysach. If a person did not live with you. V'im lo'y satis tumatakas ishef. He did not go astray and have tumah, I guess, means uncleanliness. I don't know what he calls
defiled.
It. What?
Defiled
under your husband. Hinaki, you will be absolved, or you'll be innocent, or you'll be clear. From this cursed water. But if you did go astray, and you did become tameh, and a man lived with you besides your husband. Stop. That's what he told her. He didn't say anything else. Then it says, second oath. And Yetesi talked about one oath. And Chavalov, he's speaking again, a second oath. This is the curse that's going to happen. Now, if you notice, it didn't say what happens if she is Mizana in the first Shvuah. The first rule is that if you're not, you weren't Mizana, you're good to go. And if you were Mizana, stop. And then it says, and then he made a swear, a shua to Allah. A second shua called a shua to Allah. So the question is, why didn't he have to speak out both sides? If you weren't Mizana, you're clear. And if you were Mizana, you're going to get killed. He didn't say that to her. In Pasuk Chav, it just says, and if you were Mizana, didn't finish. The next Pasuk starts a new oath. That's a caution of Echorei Debeach, has nothing to do with Tanai. It sounds like it's a Tanai. The water will work or not work based on the Tanai of whether you were Mizana or not. So Zog to Gemara. Let's get it inside. Zog to Gemara. Bishrei Melor of Chanina ben Gamliel. Hayu Dechzev and Loishach of Ishai Tech and Loishach of Tachas Ima Ishechi Naki. And it doesn't have to repeat the other side. That obviously if you did Mizana, you're going to get killed. There was no reason to say that. Self-understood. Inference. Elulur Meir, he doesn't go by inference. Chinaki mi boile. It should have said, and if you do Mizana, Chinaki, you'll be choked. You'll be killed. Doesn't say that. How am I supposed to know that? And for the Gemara, Amar of Tanchum, Chinaki says. Chinaki is spelt without a yud. It's usually spelt with a yud. Here it's not spelt with a yud to tell me. Chinaki, Chinaki. Chinaki if you're not Mizana, Chinaki if you are Mizana. By writing Chinaki without a yud, the Torah sent me two words. Chinaki and Chinaki. The leading out of the yud gives us the right to darshan Chinaki if you are Mizana.
You can turn the
Hesed into a Hesed. Yes, we turn the Hesed into a Drasha, correct.
Is that,
those
repeated.
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. We do it. Let's read the Rashi. Dr. Rashi, it doesn't say if you were a Mizana, you won't be innocent. Doesn't say what's going to happen. That passage is going in the next Shua. Right? If you were a Mizana, Hashem will give you all that. That's the second Shua. There were two shores. One was a curse, one without a curse. It's derived from the bracha. The midrashay can be cried the shore with shayna. To darshan it like the way we read it on the first shore. And with the spelling, Nami Midrash Ashur Kamaisa Lemishnah Kwa de Basre. It's saying, add it to the next Pasuk. Ulamemer Chinaki Vat Kisatis. Kalaimer Imsatis Tishanki. So by spelling it without a Yud, the Torah is allowing you to take this word and use it the way it's read in the first part, if you weren't Mizana. And if you were Mizana, Chinaki Vat Kisatis. So we're putting the word Hinaki going on Pasuk Yutes, and then we're saying it also goes on Pasuk Chav, and is a punishment mentioned. Hinaki. Now, how we do that? How we take Hei Ches? I believe there's some letters that were allowed to interchange, and I believe Hei and Ches are part of those letters that in Drushas were allowed to interchange. This is the rule of Drusha, that Hei and Ches can be interchanged. Yes.
The whole phrase goes together. Mimei hamarim hamarim ha'ile. Mihinaki mimei hamarim ha'ile.
Correct.
Correct. You put the yud and you put it in that little space?
No, no yud. Just missing.
There is no yud. It's missing.
Instead you say
hinaki. No.
We, that by not writing the yud, the Torah is hinting to us, telling us, hinaki. That you can darshan it the way it's read, hinaki. The way it's spelled without a yud, which reads more like chinaki.
I'm saying, it's not there. The yud's not there. You moved it over to fill the space of the hay to the chas.
No, that's a nice cute part. No, but that's not what the Gemara means.
Yeah.
A nice cute, that's a cute part.
What's so cute about it?
What?
What's so cute about that?
Because I didn't think of it. That's why it's cute.
Why? No, I'm just saying. You never said that at all.
I didn't. He said it.
Yes, it's cute.
I thought it was cute. Anyway, okay. That we're finished Parshas Nasai. Now, now we move on to, yes. I'm sorry? Is there a little more? Yeah, I'm sorry. So now we understand why the Torah left the Yud out. Why leave out the Yud? So now we have a concept of Chanin ben Gamliel, because now the Torah did repeat itself. Because by not writing the Yud, the Torah repeated itself. Why did the Torah repeat itself? It's the same old answer. Neutral? That's why the Torah had to repeat. There's no neutral. Ali Surah Ba'alma, you were violated in Isser, but no consequences down here in this world. Kamash Malan, that there are consequences. The Trashi, Elrav Chanin is a loyboy, the Lomit of the Mikhtav Kai Lishna. Why write Hinaki and drop the Yod? Vikil the Midrash Hachi Vachi, Nikrav Sechaya, you'll live, by Lashon Achar. Don't use Hinaki and drop the Yod. Answer is, to tell me there's a punishment, because I would think there's no punishment. I would think it's neutral. Okay, so we finished Parshas Nasai. Now we move to Parshas Chukas. Who is Chata Bay Bayayim HaShlishi Bayayim HaShvi? A guy that's a Tamei Meis should cleanse himself by Mechata, sprinkle on himself, third day and the seventh day. And if he doesn't, he's not Tamei. Why is that repeated? He should sprinkle on himself by Yayim HaShlishi B'Yayim HaShvi. Obviously, if he doesn't, he's not tar. Now, the truth is that even is not a tznai. It's really not even a tznai. That's where the Achrayim point out. Not like he said something conditional. He said, you have a mitzvah to sprinkle Yayim HaShlishi B'Yayim HaShvi. I guess you become tar if. So, obviously, if you don't, you don't become tar. Why did the Torah have to repeat? The lo yischat to b'yayim hashlishi b'yayim hashvi lo yitar. Why did the Torah repeat that? Zokta gemar bishlam alur emeir hainu d'chsev v'hu yischat to b'yayim hashlishi b'yayim hashvi yitar. V'im lo yischat to lo yitar. Elur b'chanin ben gamliel lamali. And for the gemar itzrich. Sal g'day d'chamin em mitzvah sasoa b'shlishu b'shri. L'chat chila, you do 3 and 7. V'heichat avid b'chad min, I love it. But the Eved, one is enough. You should do it twice. But maybe once is enough for the Eved. That's what I had to say. If you don't do both, you're not Tor. Kamash Malon. Rashi, Sarkadai Tacha Mitzah, Mitzah Sazor, Begimu Bazaar, Yavim Bechad Minayu Ovid. The Reish of the Kroh, Lab Belishn of the Tznor Ksiv. The Loi Ksiv, Im Yishat Abay, doesn't say, if you sprinkle, never mentions it as a condition. That would have said, if you don't do it, you're not tor. Elohu yischata boy, it's a command. It's a command to do it. But what if you do it once? It's good enough. Mashmalan, if you don't do it both, you're not tor. Two people talking at the same time. He's a kayan.
I'm sorry, but these answers that we're giving, this is
Rav Chanina's answering. Wait, wait,
you
left here already. Right. We left it to Shiloh. No,
when I did play baseball, back to this. When it says the answers, is that Rav Chanina answering, or is it the Gemara answering for him?
I think the Gemara is answering for him. Yes.
Why is it a habamer that you can, one
would
be sufficient?
Sometimes the Torah gives a mitzvah chatchila, and it's only chatchila.
The way I read it, is
see, Rashi's saying, had the Torah said, he's tar im yitzchat to b'yayim ha'shlib sh'yayim ha'shri, we would have understood that it's dependent on both. Tari never said you're tar if you do both. Tari said you should do both. Maybe you should do both means that's what we'd like you to do, but one is enough. So that's why the Tari speaks that. If not, you're not tar. we're finished with Dai Kavu. But once we brought in Parshas Chukas, we're going to say Pshatim in the Chumash in Parshas Chukas. So we're leaving Tnai Kavu now. We've done our Tnai Kavu. We've traveled through Chamisha Chumshit Taira. We even went to Navi. And now we go back to the Pshat in Parshas Chukas. V'hiza hatar al atame b'yayim ha'shlishi b'yayim ha'shvi l'amali. The Taira repeats, and the Taira should sprinkle on the Tame on the third day, the seventh day. This is a kash on everybody. Why did the Taira have to repeat it? It said, v'yishchata b'yayim ha'shlishi b'yayim ha'shvi. Itzrach. Salkadai d'chamin ha'shlishi l'mute sheni, shvi l'mute shishi. Maybe pshat is, you can't do two and six. It might be made Taira, because you're cutting back. You're supposed to have three and seven. You're cutting back a day. What if you do 3 and 8? The commandments we make Tara. Adarabba. You're spending more time doing Tara. Eva Shaper Dummy. Kamash Malan, no. There can be 3 and 7. No 3 and 8. Now, 3 doesn't have to be 3. It can be 25. 25 will be day 3. You can decide when you want to start your 7 days. But whenever you want to start your 7 days, you have to do 3 and 7. The 4-day difference in between. No more, no less. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be day 3 after Tumah. Right? A guy can become Tamei. I'm Tamei Meis. I've been Tamei Meis for years. Now, Mashiach's going to come, and there's going to be a Paraduma, and they're going to sprinkle on me. If I, the bunch should help me, should be Zeichu to live with the Mashiach. Right? And they're going to sprinkle on me. Now, it's not day 3 since I became a Tamei Meis. But it'll be day 3. Whenever the count, I decide, whenever it's available, when I decide, okay, this is 1, 2, the next day is 3, I can make that day 3. And then 4 days later will be day 7. So there's no kpeda on 3. The kpeda is on a no less than 3 and no difference in more than 4 days between the first and the second.
Something has to be done in day 1, like make for haircut.
Nothing. He became a Tamei Meis. He has to wait till day 3, minimum.
I can't go from today and I say this is the third day.
You can do that. Okay. Because it's already third day. Meaning I don't have to count 1, 2, and 3. Whenever Mashiach comes, it can be my day 3. It is day 3. It's more than day 3.
You go to Levaya, then you have to wait.
Exactly. If a guy goes to Levaya, maybe, depending on how Levaya really is, he might have to wait day 3, correct? The reason I say maybe is because it's not always is a Mesa Matame, but there's a Pesach Tefach gets involved in a lot of different things. But the right thing might not be Tame. But if a person touches a Mesa, he's Tame. I was in the Chavik Kaddish for a while. I touched the Mesa. I am definitely a Tame Mesa. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. These are Tare Tame. Love me. Love the Rechnina Paruch. This is not a Kasher Rechnina. El Ledibri Akoboyla. Lemute Shishi. Shiloi Richek has the Asa Mitumasai. Didn't distance, it's not far away from the Tumah. It has to be 7 from the Tumah. So Trashi Tavade Shapardami, 4 and 8 is good. The Kol Masha Masha Zor Rishay Name Bekachum. Rashi's speaking out what I said. Not starting with day 3 is not a problem. But Vachli Yarbishli Mad Biyam Shibin Azor Lazov. You can't have less than 4 days in between. Rashi brings a ride from the Gemara Yuma. It says there that they separated the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says they sprinkled on him every day. Why did they sprinkle day 1? Because this is 3. Maybe he became Tamei Kachumra. Maybe he became Tamei. This is day 3. Right? But maybe it's day 45. Mishlaim, Shemesh Lishi. I forgot the English who can have Shema Asiri Yisro. It might be 10 or more. Teretz says it's not a problem. Biga son and Hachal Inyan Hazab is Manu the Gesinan. If you're worried about day 3, because there might be a mitzvah to do it as soon as you can. In the days it was Ayver Paro, we'd like people to become Torah as soon as they can. But it's not Ma'akev in the Kaparo. Back to the Gemara Vayit.
Is there anything wrong with him delaying it?
Again, it's
not.
It's a big shaila in the Gemara, whether Hazab is mana mitzvah, Hazab is mana loy mitzvah, Tzilub is mana mitzvah, Tzilub is mana loy mitzvah. It's a machloikis in the Gemara need, it's a big sugya. A woman that can go to the mikvah, She obviously, especially today, when I'm not put on it, and I'll explain why in a minute. In the days over there that they went to Tfilah for Tum and Tara, not only for a husband, right? So a woman became Tameh, there was a difference between Nida and Zava. A Nida was Tameh for 7 days, and a Zava had needed 7 clean days. So a woman that was a Nida, according to one Mandiyama, had a mitzvah to go to the mikveh at the end of 7 days of the start of her period. Right? A Zava couldn't go to the mikveh to the end of 7 clean days. We're machmer that we treat, the women were machmer, that they treat themselves as Zavas. That means they're delaying tefillah b'zmana. Because if they're Nidas, they should have gone to the mikveh a week and a half ago. Herod says, we paskin tefillah b'zmana lav mitzvah. But according to the Madama tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, they went to the mikveh count of numbers of times. In case this is the right time. In case this is the right time. So it's not a geyas today. But that would be the same machloek as v'azah. Is there a mitzvah to do it right away? Or as long as you get it done, before you have to get it done? Passing by again in Parshas Chukas, and he gets tor on the 7th day. What do we have to write that for? It's maybe you only need 2 for kachim. Maybe for truma 1 sprinkling is enough. Kamash Malan again. No, you become tor 7th day, meaning you need both even for truma. Bashi. Kamabish Meitara. I didn't finish that Rashi before. Marchik v'haylich v'yayim maga hatumah. He's going further away from the Tumah. That's the Havamina. Kamash Malan, it's got to be a 4-day in between, no more, no less. Okay, we're finished with the Sugya of Naikavu. Let us move on to the next Mishnah. HaMekadesh is the Isha. Somebody's Mekadesh, a woman. And then he tells us, Ksavar HaYisti, I thought she Kehenes. I thought she was a Kehenes. It was not said at the time of Kedushin. Nobody said a word. The guy said, I thought she was a Kehenes. And I found out via a Leviya. Or I thought she was a Leviya. Now I find out via a Kehenes. Ania, I thought she was poor, via Ashira. I thought she was Ashira, via Ania. He did not speak this out. It was all in his mind. Halacha is, Harzuk Mekdeshes, B'nei Shelo Hitasai. There was no misleading. Nobody misled him. Nobody told him anything. He didn't make it as a condition. He thought. So you thought. Wonderful. It was not a condition in the Kedushin. Dvarim Shemalev, Enim Dvarim. Rashi, Shalayatasei, who hit his atma? He fooled himself. Even Dloy Pirish, Lavko Kamine. And if he didn't speak it out, he's not believed to make this a condition. Davilu Dvarim Shemalev. This is considered Dvarim Shemalev. Now, why this mission is here? Why isn't this the second parak when we talked about conditions? I think somebody, the Shaina might even ask it. I forgot the tarot. Yes.
But this applies to Mechachtas also.
If it's not spoken out, why is it a Mechachtas?
Okay, so by some Mechachtas, it has to be spoken.
Well, I come in and I say, I'd like to buy a 2024 car. And you give me a 2022. I said, I want to buy a 2024 car. If I came in and I said, I want to buy a car, and you give me a 2022, I can't say I meant 2024. Never spoke it out. You said a car. I meant exactly what you said. Mekachtos usually is, he said it and it wasn't met. That's a Mekachtos. Or it's assumed. There's something is an assumption. That a lady's a Kehenes or a Levi or poor or rich is not an assumption.
Initially, Amiya and Ashir, I understand why this is
true. Some people, it's a Chashiva family. Some people want to marry the Chashiva family. Some people, you know, sometimes when people read Shidduchim for my daughter, I was looking for a boy. They said they don't want any Kli Kaddish. They want a Baal Bas. I mean, what do you mean? Well, I understand that. Kahanim are Kli Kaddish. Kahanim are Kli Kaddish. They don't want to marry the Kli Kaddish. I'm telling you, I heard that numbers of times. They're not interested. And the Kli Kaddish, we don't want that. Now, it might be a euphemism, we want somebody with money. That could be. It maybe that's the way they described it. Or maybe they had, you know, the boy doesn't have to have the pressure of having to swear that, like, you know, like, asks, demands more by his presence. Maybe? I don't know. I can't talk for the boy.
Maybe he has the opposite. They were only looking for Kli Kaddish. They didn't want the whole
bus. Yeah, I guess that's it. Kaddish, right? Olivia, Olivia, right? Kaddish. Exactly what you just spoke out.
Yeah, no, but is that halachically or something like that different? Like,
no.
Okay.
No. It's just that it's you know, you want to marry a Rav's daughter, you don't want to marry a Rav's daughter. You want to marry into a Shiva's family, you don't want to marry into a Shiva's family. You want to live under the...
I didn't know that the women carry the same mila as the men.
It's not a kosher mila, it's a kosher family. Where are you going to eat your Seder Pesach night? Pesach.